Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Brake.
Don't forget that the whole kind of underlying premise of this series is that we want, as a pastor and as a leadership team, we want you guys to finish strong. We want you to finish today strong, this week strong, this month, your life strong. And as we just heard out of Hebrews 12, that there is that stuff that comes in and it can slow us down. It can hinder our progress in this race that God has set before us. And we want to be aware of what is that stuff that can slow us down. And this current series, The Seven Deadly Sins, we're looking at the root cause of the stuff that can slow us down. And, you know, as we said, sin is something that takes something that is normal and acceptable and it stretches it, it distorts it, it makes it unhealthy, it makes it grotesque, it makes it ugly. So far, we have looked at the topic of pride and the virtue that we should pursue if we're to avoid being proud. What should we pursue? Humility. Humility. And last week we looked at envy and what is the thing that we should actively probably do more than try to be, we should show is kindness. Well done. And this week we're looking at this topic of gluttony. Now I've got some photos that might actually help get our headspace together when it comes to this whole area of gluttony. Have a look at these pictures and it's not a plug for McDonald's, by the way. Yep. Yep. Slow down. And the next one. Now, stop right there. That is the mother of all burgers in America. That is the one that 2,468 people up until March 2010 have attempted. There's only 7 people have achieved eating the whole thing within an hour. A guy named Joey somebody or other, who is the 2008 hot dog eating champion, actually, believe it or not, ate that whole thing. Let me get this right. He ate it in, Joey Chestnut ate it in 7 minutes, 36 seconds. You're talking about almost, that's almost like 5 kilograms of food sitting on that pizza tray. All right, let's go to the next one, just so you can get some size proportions. Keep going. Now that guy's holding the burger, and the next one as well is a guy that most recently completed the challenge in March. And the next one, we have the Australia's biggest burger. And on that plate is probably between 13 to 14,000 calories, just on a plate. And not many people actually have, actually I don't think anyone's finished the Australian one yet. So maybe we're just not as gluttonous as the Americans. But if you, in that burger that you saw, there was 266.8 grams of fat on that plate. Just a little bit excessive. I don't know about you, but I think it's probably a little bit excessive. What would you have to do if you tried to burn that off in exercise? You'd have to do low impact aerobics for 28 hours, high impact aerobics for 26 hours, sit on a stationary bike for 17 hours, and I know there's somebody in this room that's probably done that, play 23 full games of basketball, or play golf with no golf cart but walking for 42 hours. You'd have to box for 15 hours. You'd have to actually sleep continuously for 200 hours and not eat anything in those 200 hours, obviously. Play tennis for 23 hours. So there's obviously a lot of exercise required to burn off that amount of calories. And today we're actually looking at the topic of gluttony. Now it's interesting because the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about gluttony, but the verses that it does mention we'll look at. But the virtue that we are to pursue, or should I say, allow to be developed in our lives, is the one of self-control. So if we're to avoid gluttony, then it's self-control is the thing, is the virtue that we should allow to be developed in our lives. And the Bible actually says a lot about that. I mean, one of the interesting verses on gluttony in the Bible is found in Deuteronomy 21:20. And I don't have a son, but I have daughters, but this is a bit extreme. I don't know about you, but stone to death the drunkard and gluttonous son is what Deuteronomy 21:20 says. Bit intense for somebody who's gluttonous to stone them. Thankfully, Old Testament. Maybe we don't have to worry about that one. But let's look in our notes at Galatians 5:22. Now, if you don't have notes, if you don't have the notes for today, just put your hand up and our guys will just pass one along to you. I'll just make sure everybody's got it, because what I'd like us to do is we're going to read this together. All right, before we read this, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for what you've already begun to do this morning. I just pray, Father, that we would have the courage to keep our eyes open, our ears open, our hearts open to what you want to say to us this morning. Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, as we look into this area, Lord God, that gluttony has so much more to do than just our waistline. That, Lord God, as we look into this, we're going to realize that there are other things maybe that we should be aware of, cautious of. And so this morning, Father, I just pray that you would help me to deliver this word, Lord God, with passion and with authority. And so we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the top of your notes, this is your memory verse, Galatians 5:22. Are we ready? On the count of three, we're going to read this together. One, two, three. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. I want you to underline self-control, and I want you to underline produces this kind of fruit. So the Bible says here that one of the outcomes, one of the fruits, one of the products of the Holy Spirit being resident in our lives should be self-control. And when we're confronted with this area of gluttony, then the thing that we should switch to and be open to is asking and engaging with the Holy Spirit wherever we are, saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send to you the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, who is going to help you and guide you and lead you into all truth, into a greater level of freedom in your life. And so the Holy Spirit is there to, you know, the Holy Spirit's going, help me, help you, help you. Kind of Jerry Maguire kind of deal. You know, just help me. The Holy Spirit is there for us, especially when we leave the walls of this church. And so this whole area of self-control should be a fruit that is growing and developing in our lives. So my heart's desire is at the end of this year, I'm able to show a greater level of self-control in the areas of weakness, because I'm assuming like you, I've got lots. And so I've got to be conscious and aware, and I want this fruit of the Spirit being evident in my life. Have a look at the definition of gluttony that's in your notes there. It's an inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. An inordinate desire to consume more than what you need, basically. So underline there, just in that definition, consume more, or circle it, just so it kind of like jumps off the page at you, consuming more than what you really need or require. And the thing is with gluttony, it's not just the over or excessive consumption of something. Like, you know, what we saw up there was that was excessive. That was like just over the top ridiculous. But gluttony actually starts when we take one more bite than we really need. That's where gluttony actually starts. Starts when we just start to go, you know what, yep, I've had enough, but gee, that cheesecake looks so good. Is anyone else kind of here a victim of cheesecake? Just like whoever created that stuff is just like, that's just one of those things. So please don't buy me cheesecake to make sure I'm displaying self-control and just have it there. It's just like, but cheesecake, oh man, cheesecake. It's just like, I don't need it, but it's just there. Come on, I've got to eat it. You know, food is from God. He's blessed us with food. I should be able to just have it, you know. It's just stepping into that realm of just having one more bite than I should. So today we're believing that in throughout this series, and particularly today in this area of gluttony, we would love to see that you'd just be simply open to allowing the process of the great exchange to happen in your life. That you would allow an area of gluttony in your life for a particular thing that we're going to look at today, for that area to start to be replaced with a greater manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, of that being self-control. And, you know, that goes the same for each and every area that we're looking at. And in the upcoming weeks, we've got things like anger. We've got things like greed. We've got sloth. And really, I couldn't be bothered preparing for that, so I'll get somebody else to preach on that one. And, of course, we're going to hit the big one. The lust is the last one in our series. And we've been in touch with a church in, believe it or not, Las Vegas. And Triple X Church is what they're called. And this church is, their whole ministry is reaching to the porn industry. And these guys are reaching directors, producers, actors in the whole industry. And what they've got is a bunch of resources for us that we're looking at to see what's appropriate for the series that we're doing. But they've got something called Porn Sunday. And we're actually thinking maybe we'll call it Porn and Pancakes or Porn and Pastries or something. But we're going to have Porn Sunday, and they've just got some great resources on this whole topic of lust and the outworkings of it. They've seen a number of actors and producers, directors come to Christ, and these guys sit and they talk about how this whole area of lust manifests itself in lots of different ways, and one obviously contributes significantly to the whole porn industry. And so stay tuned for that one. But you might think to yourself, let's get back to gluttony. You might think to yourself, how does gluttony get on this list? You can see how, you know, anger actually hurts and is harmful to others. When we looked at pride, you probably just go, yeah, I can understand now how pride could actually be hurtful to others. But how does gluttony actually get on this list? How is it harmful to others? We're going to explore that, but one of the guys that was instrumental in putting this list of the seven deadly sins together, Pope Gregory the First, or also known as Pope Gregory the Great, he actually said this, and personally, he was happy to say that he felt that gluttony was actually the greatest for him personally, looking at the list. And he said this, and I quote, "Unless we first tame the enemy dwelling within us, namely our gluttonous appetite, we have not even stood up to engage in spiritual combat." So he's saying that we have to tame ourselves and we have to be aware of what's going on inside ourselves, of those inordinate desires to consume more than we should or that we require in different areas of our life, for that to get under control before we can actually step up and really start to live out our life of faith. Because why? We can't serve two masters. We can't be pursuing God 100% and pursuing that hamburger with cheese, you know, in the same way. We can't be pursuing God with all our hearts and pursuing that new iPad that's coming out. Or I can't be pursuing God with everything and desiring to have that, you know, that new car that I've just, you know, just got to have because it's going to make me a real chick magnet. But whatever it is, you know, it's saying that we've got to get those things under control in our life, in our relationship with God, before we really step into walking a life of faith. So how do we overcome this whole area of gluttony, this inordinate desire to consume more than we require? Well, the first thing there, and in your notes you'll see there's an F. The F stands for find. Find and admit my areas of gluttony. Find and admit my areas of gluttony. I think we'd all agree, and if you've talked to a counsellor or you've talked to anyone that's gone through a major issue in their life, the first step in dealing with anything is actually admitting that you've got a problem. Is actually go, yep, you know what? I've got an issue with this and I want to actually do something about it. And you may be sitting here this morning and just go, well, Phil, you know what? This whole gluttony thing, it just doesn't really, it's not an issue of mine. Well, just give it time. Just wait a minute. Don't be too hasty. And I've appreciated the feedback. This has actually stirred a lot of good conversation in the life of the church. And I've appreciated your emails and SMSs and things along the way, especially those that are saying that, you know, they really wanted to indulge in this whole area of gluttony this week, as the OCF students did at their Southeast Asian food festival on Friday night and just had a ridiculous amount of food on Friday night. They just wanted to make sure that they got that one out the way before they got convicted on Sunday morning. So, you know, anyway, we won't go there. But it stirred a lot of good discussion, and particularly, you know, people that just go, you know, I didn't actually realise that I had an issue with envy. And, you know, and it wasn't until it was explained to me like that I just began to realise. And there was a few people that passed that feedback on. So we appreciate your honesty and thank you for that feedback. But the point is here, we've got to find and admit that I've got an issue in this area of gluttony. And what I've put down there is a list of 8, and there is a line there for other in case your area is not listed there, but there's 8 things there. And you notice that food is just not on its own. There's other things as well. So gluttony has far more to do, far less to do with our waistline than what we probably imagine. And today we want to explore just some of the different areas of challenge when it comes to gluttony. And as I was researching and looking into this, it was fascinating that some of the earliest definitions and explanations of gluttony, believe it or not, actually have a lot to do with under-eating as opposed to overeating. I think we can all probably agree that it's easy to see how gluttony can lead to overeating and the health issues associated with that. But if you bear with me, and I'll try to explain this as best I can, throughout the centuries, there's been different kinds of pressures put on females, more than guys, but guys too, to be a particular body shape or to fit into some ridiculous contraption called a dress with a corset thing and whatever, and or shoe sizes and shoes that are either ridiculously too small or too long. And so that unhealthy desire for a particular body shape or the perception of a body shape has meant that people go down the track of harmful behaviours. So it's an unhealthy desire to be something, and so therefore the outworking of it is not an overeating but an undereating, or an over-exercising, or the incorrect use of things like, you know, laxatives and diuretics and dieting or over-exercising, things like that, that have led to the unhealthy condition, the unhealthy end result, just as unhealthy as the other end of the spectrum, the overeating one. Does that make sense? So that initial unhealthy desire for a particular body shape, and guys aren't excluded from that either. You know, guys have a, you know, particular desire to be, you know, biceps to be so big, or the chest like this, or the legs like that, and so therefore, you know, particular illegal substances might be used, which ends up being harmful. And guys, you know, like, you know, some of the risks that we see associated with that of, you know, gluttony when it comes to either overeating or the use of those illegal substances, you know, like all the health risks associated with blood pressure and cholesterol and heart disease and potentially diabetes and impotence, which is, you know, got your attention, good. But yeah, it's like, you know, some of the effects of these things on our lives, which are not healthy. But I want you to understand that it's not just about overeating. It can be a challenge with undereating. And the amount of work that I've done with young ladies and how much of a heartbreak it is when they pursue such a perception of what they should be, and the pursuit of that leads to the unhealthy outcomes, is just as detrimental to the other end of the spectrum. And so I want to have a look at some of these areas today and see whether there's any buttons that are pushed in your life this morning. Who's up for a button being pushed in their life today? Oh, yeah. Keep that hand up and just say, I love Phil. All right. So now, just as I'm about to maybe challenge some areas of life or thinking, let me just make something really clear. We've got to remember that God is concerned with every area of our life, and that if we seek first the kingdom of God, then he will provide us with everything that we need. Because the problem is, some areas of gluttony can sometimes come about because we compare ourselves to others. And we put ourselves on a scale against people at work or other students at uni because of what they have, what they look like, what they dress, what they drive, where they live, all those sort of things. So all of a sudden, I then have this drive and motivation to get this and have that and accumulate more. And one of the growing, you know, fastest growing industries in Australia over the last 5 years has been the storage industry. It's unbelievable. So I don't have space in my house, but I need to go and store, you know, go and actually hire out one of those cubicles down at Storage King and, you know, pay $40 a week so I can store all the stuff that I'm never going to use anyway, but it's just there and just keep accumulating stuff. Why? Because I have to try and keep up with the neighbour, and they just got the new plasma, and plasmas aren't bad, are they? But yeah, they got the new plasma, and I've got to get a new plasma and all the new toys with the bells and whistles and all that sort of stuff. And God's just saying, hey, just seek me first. Seek me first. Don't compare yourself to others. The Bible says that that's foolishness. And if you just hold on to me, then all the other stuff in your life is going to fall into place. And I can give you so many personal illustrations in our life, in our married life, where it hasn't made sense to do particular things, to give towards a building fund or to give towards this or that. And it doesn't make sense, but we just hold on to God and say, God, it would not make sense to my friends. If my mates at work knew I did that, they would like, I think I'm an absolute idiot. But yeah, I have a look at how God has provided and cared for us as a family. It just blows me away. And so I just quickly want to read to you Matthew 6, verse 31 and 33, just to encourage you to bring an element of balance in all of this. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, everybody say things.
Things.
Things. God is not against things. He knows that you'd need them. Will be given to you as well. And piggybacking off of that, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs." Everybody say needs.
Needs.
Needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So we're just saying, let's not compare ourselves. What can actually prevent us from getting into a cycle of gluttony anyway. But if we can hold on to God and seek first his kingdom and righteousness, everything's going to fall into place. Does that make sense? Cool, let's keep moving. So let's have a look at these areas that could be a potential stumbling block for us and maybe some of the consequences of this being an area of weakness in our life. Food. I've already explained some of the issues, the health issues, but also the cost issue that comes into. And has anyone ever noticed that it actually costs more to eat well? It costs more to buy salad and food. What's that about? Anyway, food can be one of those things. But let's look at the others. Shopping. Retail therapy. Oh, I've just lost some friends. Can be, but remember, let's get this in perspective. Sin is that thing that takes something that is normal and healthy and it distorts it, twists it, makes it grotesque and a stumbling block and tries to hinder us from the progress that God's wanting to make in our lives. So shopping is not bad. I like shopping. I went to the shops. I had to buy this top the other day. It's not a bad thing. I had to. Yes, okay, you've all guessed. I'll put that one down. That's an issue for me. I'll circle that one. But the areas of time too, spent looking for stuff, the areas of stewardship with our finance, of maybe, you know, using the credit card beyond what we're able to actually repay. And can I just say, if you're not aware, like at the end of your visa cycle, don't spend more than you can actually pay back because the interest that you are charged on your visa card is ridiculous. So that's a principle that Nat's parents taught her before she even graduated and stuff. Whenever you use a credit card, make sure you can pay it off when it is due. Because otherwise the interest, if you don't pay off the whole amount, you're charged interest on the whole amount. We've been caught out on that by not paying the whole amount off by $20. And then all of a sudden there's this interest on our account of $75. And you just go, but like, aren't you supposed to get charged the interest on the $20 that we didn't pay? It doesn't work like that. You get charged on the whole amount. And so we're called to be wise stewards with our finance. And you know what, as a church, eventually we'll have the opportunity to give via credit card. And we're looking into all of that, but there has been a hesitation for us to do that because of the challenges with that I know people face with credit card debt and the challenges with that. And I know there's a balance in all that because some people use a revolving line of credit with their business dealings and things, and so it's advantageous. But, you know, anyway, I digress. The whole issue is like making sure that we don't fall into credit card debt and being wise stewards with our money, which if shopping is an area of gluttony that gets out of control, then, you know, it's something that we should think about. The next one, pornography. Let me just say up front, there is no healthy level of pornography. All right. It's not like, yeah, you know, there's a healthy level and then, you know, sin comes along and distorts it. No, it's just distorted to begin with. All right, let's not kid ourselves. Don't say, well, Pastor Phil had it on the list with everything else and so therefore there must be a healthy level of pornography, because there ain't. It's just no. Environmental resources, the use and abuse of the environment, where we, you know, we aren't mindful of the way in which we use the resources that God has blessed us with. Yes, and we're called to have dominion and authority over this world and everything in it and to go and multiply on that, but we also have a responsibility to our environment. And I know that we could do a lot better at this in our household. And I know that when my showers get longer, it means I need to go for a surf. It's just got to be in water for a while and just, you know, but I've got to cut my showers back and that sort of stuff. And recycling and having a veggie patch in the backyard and that sort of thing, if we can do that. All things that we should do. But maybe if we're just really flippant about, it's just an area of gluttony in our lives. Drinking. Maybe an area of challenge in your life. You know, I think the Bible clearly states that, you know, it's okay to drink, but don't get drunk. And so there's an area of moderation. That's where I believe the whole area of self-control is so important. That it's, you know, it's okay. And then the policy as a church, which we've thrown out there to the leaders in our church, and especially for me, this is just my standard, take it or leave it, happy to chat about it at any time. But the thing is that I need to know that at any time of the day, I can get into my car and I can go to a pastoral emergency and I know that I'm under the limit. And so that's just how I'm living my life. So for me, that might be, I might be able to have two drinks and that's it for me. Not because, you know, I can't drink more. It's just that, no, at any time, if I get a call, I want to be able to come out and meet pastoral emergencies. And it's just, I think it's just a good kind of thing to go by. But it's a personal choice. Smoking. Smoking may be an area that you are challenged with. I don't believe smoking will send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. So, you know, like I just think, you know, there's been such an increased awareness of the detrimental effects of smoking, particularly over the last 20 years. But it's interesting that, you know, sort of the obesity rate has increased over the same time. So we kind of put one aside and we've sort of no more gluttonous about smoking, but let's just jump on the food thing and become more obese as we go along. Entertainment and idle activity. Right now I might lose some friends, but what the heck. What we're talking about here is like maybe the Xbox, PlayStation, Wii, movies, TV, all those sort of things of sitting down for hours on end and investing the time into that. I mean, think about the costs that could be associated with doing that until the wee hours of the morning. It's like, I remember, and this is one of the reasons why, like, I don't want to get Foxtel in my home. I'm not against Foxtel, this is Phil talking, I'm not projecting this onto you, so if you're feeling uncomfortable, that's your issue, not mine, because I'm not doing that, all right? But what I'm saying, I couldn't do that because I know I'd be up all night watching sport. And it's only until recently did we get a Wii, somebody gave us a Wii, and that we can actually, and I'm deliberately not playing it, because once I start those things, man, I'm out of control. Has anyone ever played 1942, the game? Remember, one, great. It's good to be 28, isn't it, Robin? Yeah, good. But like there was this game, and it was like I had to get down to the shops and play that game whenever I had spare. That was back in the day. Show my age now, it's 20 cents to play a game, not $2, it was 20 cents. And I used to like just find 20 cent pieces all around my house, find them. And I used to be able to get to the milk bar and just play this game because it was just something. The amount of time that I wasted doing that was unbelievable. But now if we translate it now into adulthood, it's like, you know, if I'm staying up watching movies and shows and all this sort of thing, I mean, it's got to affect my productivity and my level of alertness at work, how well I study the next day and coming into, you know, tense times. If I'm spending, don't forget, there is a healthy level of entertainment. There's a healthy level of relaxation. It's when it gets distorted and twisted. And, you know, I just imagine the amount of time that we would spend on playing games and investing into movies and all that sort of stuff. If we had the level of self-control to go, no, I'm going to stop after 3.5 hours. No, I'm going to stop after about 45 minutes. And I'm then going to actually invest the next 2 hours of my time into something that's going to be productive and fruitful. Imagine, like, you know, the 2,500 hours that we've invested in those in the PlayStation over the last 5 years. If we'd put that time into our study, or we'd put that time into doing something else, what the outcome might have been. Anyway, so what I want you to do right now is I want you to circle or underline the area that you struggle with, and then I want you to show the person next to you. No, I'm just joking. You don't have to do that. All right, just circle or underline, just which one is it for you? And then I want us to read Psalm 32, verse 5. You ready? Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Notice the order here. Underline acknowledged. Then I want you to underline confess. And then I want you to underline forgave. Acknowledge, confess, forgave. So admitting, finding and admitting this area of weakness. Confessing, remember when we did pride, confessing is agreeing with God, saying, yes, God, I've got an issue. I'm not living my life according to the standard and the way that you want, so I need to turn away from that. A word that's not used much these days is repentance, that we need to repent, that we need to say, God, that way of living, what I'm doing in that area of my life is actually wrong, and I want to turn away from it, and I don't want to go back to it anymore. I'm agreeing with you. I'm confessing, God, and I want to receive forgiveness, and I want self-control to be developed more in my life. So I'm going to confess it. I'm going to receive your forgiveness, and I'm going to turn away from that altogether and walk on in the direction you want me to go. So it's acknowledgement, it's confession, and then it's receiving and experiencing his forgiveness. Sound good? Because the issue is when we try to hide stuff, or when we try to say that, oh no, it's not an issue for me. No, that's when issues can start to arise and manifest, whether it's months or years later. But they will start to come out in our lives. So the first one is find and admit. Secondly, let's get through these last three quickly. Secondly, the A stands for ask for God's wisdom before I consume. Ask for God's wisdom before I consume. What we're basically saying is pray. Pray when it comes to this area of challenge in your life. You see, prayer brings order to our lives. Sin is disorder in a desire in our life, taking something normal and healthy and distorting it. What prayer does is start to bring order back into our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into the situation and to be alive and active in the situation. So prayer can help to bring order back into it. Because gluttony takes a healthy desire and takes it in the wrong direction. Prayer helps to realign our desires to be more Christ-like. So let me ask you this question. If you're about to go into an area of challenge, you're about to go shopping, you know it's an area of weakness. If you pray and say, God, just, I know it kind of sounds crazy, but God, I just need your help with what I'm about to go and do. Is God going to listen? Yes. Of course he is. He's not just going to go, well, nah, you're on your own, check ya. He goes, no, look, if you're open for him to come and help and assist you in your life, he's going to hear that cry and he's going to come and actually help to be a part of that. So whatever it is. Let's take a look at an example of what Jesus did when it comes to the most obvious one, and that is of food. He ate. Before he ate, before the focus and the order was all about the eating, before he ate, Jesus prayed. In Luke 22:19, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And just on that note, we're just going to come around a time of communion. Jo's going to do that now just in this whole topic. She's got some insights for us when it comes to communion.
All right. Let me read something that Pastor Phil passed on to me during the week, just about communion while we're handing these out. Okay, the Lord's Supper. We have all seen a picture, a painting of the Lord's Supper, yeah? Yeah. And probably one of the most famous ones is the one done by Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, you've all seen that. You probably have, if you're nodding your head this way, you probably have and you haven't realised. But let me read some interesting facts about this. I'm just going to read it straight out because I'm not going to remember it. So here we go. The Last Supper that Jesus took with his disciples before his betrayal has long been a favourite subject of artists, the most famous of these, the Leonardo da Vinci painting of the classic event. Okay. Recently, researchers took 52 of those paintings. There's thousands of them worldwide. But they took 52 of them and did an interesting thing. They analysed the size of the plates, the food portrayed in the paintings, to see if it would cast any light on the change in eating habits over the past millennium. Here's what happened. Okay. The researchers analysed the paintings depicting the Last Supper, which were featured in a book called The Last Supper, and used computer-aided design technology to analyse the size of the main meal, or the entrees, the bread and the plates, relative to the average size of the disciples' head. This is what the study found, that over the past 1,000 years, the size of the main meal has progressively grown by 96%. Hang on, I lie because I'm dyslexic. It's 69%. Still, it's massive. 69%. The plate size increased by 66% and the bread size increased by about 23%. What does that suggest? That we're just using, dare I say, the Lord's Supper to increase and justify in some way how much we can actually eat? Who knows? Just some interesting facts about it, though. It actually shook me because I kind of just, when I thought about it, did actually have that thought. Is that what we're doing? Are we actually somehow Christian-wise justifying eating more because art has actually shown us that increase? So it's just the thought. But I also want to read, and Phil touched on it, out of Luke 22, just the Lord's Supper. And what we're handing out now is not 69% less of what they ate. It's just a representation of communion. So keep that in mind. But I just lost it. Okay, here we go. Luke 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. So Jesus had sent two of the disciples away to prepare for the Last Supper, so the Passover lambs. That included a lamb, not just a slice of meat, but a lamb, some bread, some wine, and other ceremonial food. So we're not talking about a small meal, but we're not talking about eating it all in half an hour like most of us do a main meal either. So he said to them, so this is verse 15, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I have eagerly desired, kind of suggests that Jesus actually likes food. And if you go through, there are many, many stories throughout the Gospels of Jesus and food. So Jesus isn't against food, but he wants us to eat it correctly. I've eagerly desired, and kind of suggests, why would you eagerly desire something? Jesus knew what he was about to go through, but he wanted to spend that time with his friends, with his closest friends, the disciples. So he was about to go through some pain, some suffering, but he wanted to spend that time. Why? Could be because he needed comfort to know that these guys were going to support him. It could be he knew that he was not going to eat again this meal until he comes back. There are a lot of reasons why, but I believe that one of them, you know, Jesus eagerly desired to have that meal as a reminder for us. You know, what we hold in our hands, Jesus eagerly desires to have a relationship with us and through that relationship to remind us of what he actually did on the cross. And what we hold in our hands is the representation of that meal. You know, the biscuit that we have in our hand represents his body broken, and the wine, the juice, represents his blood shed for us. So he's eagerly desiring a relationship with us, and what we're holding is just that representation. It's reminding us of what Jesus went through. And so I want you just to take a moment to actually think about what Jesus did. And hopefully you can have an eager desire to actually participate in this meal together. Because as a Christian, we need to constantly be reminded of what Jesus did for us. So if you can just hold those, and you may even just want to have a look at them and just spend just a couple of seconds just looking at the piece of bread, at the cup, and just remembering what Jesus did. He eagerly desired to be with those who loved him, who walked with him, who listened and obeyed to him, who would do anything for him. He eagerly desired to do that with his disciples, and he eagerly desires to do that with us as well. And it's interesting because if you are eagerly desiring Jesus, then self-control is going to come through that. As you just spend more time with Jesus, if you have issues with, you know, some of those areas of gluttony that Phil's already mentioned, Jesus is going to help you with that. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, to his disciples, to the ones that he loved, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And what we want to do now is just share in this meal together. And just remember what Jesus did for us and the eager desire that he has for a relationship with us. Father God, we pray that this morning as we partake of this meal, as we eat the biscuit and we drink the juice, Father, I pray that we would remember what it actually means, that as we reflect on you and we reflect your desire to spend time with the disciples and to spend time with us so that we can be more like you. Father God, I pray that you would just help us just to always remember what you did for us on the cross. And church, when you're ready, you can eat the biscuit, drink the juice. Thank you, Lord God.
Thanks, Joe. So Jesus here is showing us that he prayed before he ate, because it was a substantial meal that they were having. And so giving us an example that prayer is actually a good thing, asking for God's wisdom before we get into something. One of the things I think that we can, if we take the time to think about it, one of the things that we can see when it comes to gluttony and most often associated with food, and I think that food is quite a neutral thing in our life, but yet at the same time, and this is a broad generalisation, I think our approach to food can actually often reflect our emotional state and also our spiritual state. Not always, but as a broad generalisation, I think that's true. Because when we start to slip into an area of gluttony, and I'll just use food for an example, that I think we actually do that because we're actually trying to either fill in or cover up a deeper need. And dare I say, a spiritual void and need that's in our lives. And so, take for example, somebody has a bad day, and so what do? They go home and they just need to have a few drinks just to calm down. Somebody has a really bad day and maybe a relationship sort of breaks up or something. So I've got a client that's like this, that, they'll go home and they'll spend the next week pretty much locked in at home and just eating a small farm animal with cheese every night and then a tub of ice cream after that, because I just need to eat, because, it's just what I need. We comfort eat, we emotionally eat. I remember being 13 and going to one of my friends' parties that their parents put on, and sort of was introduced to a couple of the parents, and then before too long, some of the guys had had three or four beers, and I remember one guy was just talking, and at 13, I just remember hearing him saying, "Oh yeah, I've got to have at least three or four beers before I loosen up and I can just be myself." And I remember standing there thinking to myself, how sad is it that somebody needs to have three or four beers before they can be themselves? And so what I'm saying is it's a cover up, or it's a filling in of a deeper, dare I say, spiritual void and need. And that's the thing about God. God wants us to deal with the root cause, not just putting band-aids on the symptoms of actually, sort of getting caught up in comfort eating or emotional eating or going out and punching somebody in the head because, I'm a bit agitated and a bit annoyed. God doesn't want us to. He goes, no, what's the root cause? The heart of the matter is the human heart. And it's a heart issue that we're talking about. And God wants us to get deep down and go, yeah, there is something else that's going on in my life that is outworking itself in this area that I need to kind of cover up or fill in or to numb or to just mask the pain that I'm experiencing or I'm feeling. And so, for me, gluttony is something that actually covers up or tries to hide a deeper, more spiritual issue. And Psalm 28 verse 7 says, "Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but the companion of a glutton shames his father." And so what we've got here is the contrast between a discerning son and a glutton. And I know which one I'd rather be. I'd rather be the discerning son than a glutton, or being the companion of a glutton. And from us to move from being a glutton to being more discerning, prayer is a significant step into that area of struggle in our lives, of asking God's help to come and help us in the midst of our situation. So that's the second area. Thirdly, and let's wrap this up, is the S. Set the boundaries of your enough zone. Set the boundaries of your enough zone. Setting boundaries before you even go there. And your enough zone is my predetermined limit to control consumption. Just a practical point here of actually you deciding what your predetermined limit's going to be. And so, for example, if it was shopping, And if shopping is an area of struggle in your life, having a predetermined amount that you're going to take with you, you take cash, don't take any cards with you. And if you need to, take a friend that you trust and can understand your struggle and they can be there with you. Or if it's food, maybe you go, you know what, I'm actually going to cut back. I'm not going to have entrees and dessert. I'm going to have a main. I'm going to have a side salad with it. And I'm just going to try and do that and see how I go. Or if drinking is an area of issue, you know what, I'm not going to order by the bottle anymore. I'm actually going to just order a glass of wine with my meal and put in a predetermined limit. And you can read the proverb that you've got written there, but Daniel 1 verse 8 is a scripture that I've held to, but it's also a scripture that I've spoken and taught a stack of young people about because it's such a powerful principle. Bless you. And Daniel 1 8 says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." And it says there that Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Underlined resolved. Your version of the Bible might have Daniel purposed in his heart. He set a predetermined limit. He set the boundaries before he went there. And we can do that. We can actually make conscious decisions because it's called the power of choice. Friend of mine that's lost about 50 odd kilos said the power of choice is phenomenal. He would sit and cheese and wine were his two vices. He would sit there and he'd go, you know what, I'm allowed, he'd say it out loud. You know what, I could eat that right now, but I choose not to. And I choose not to have it. He'd say it out loud. And he goes, no, I'm empowering myself to make good choices. And we can actually sit here this morning to go, you know what, this area of struggle, I'm going to put in predetermined limits in my life. I'm actually going to set some boundaries before I even go there. In our relationships with somebody, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, in a relationship, there are sexual boundaries that we should have in our relationships. And so I'm going to go, you know what, this is my limit and I'm not going to go past it. And as soon as it starts to get towards that boundary, you know what, I'm going to get up and even as Joseph had to, get up and walk away or walk out if I have to. Not that I'm pointing at Colin when he does that. Good timing. But so talking about so purposing in our hearts and having a predetermined limit, which is our enough zone. And you can work out what that is for yourself. And finally today, I want to quickly just throw out a challenge. T stands for take the fasting challenge. Take the fasting challenge. As you can see, F-A-S-T stands for fast. And let's try and wrap this up just like that. Fast. Take the fasting challenge. Fasting is the spiritual solution to the spiritual problem of gluttony. And there's lots of different kinds of fasts that you can do. And this morning, I'd like to throw the challenge out there to you to consider a 21-day fast, or if you really want to see significant breakthrough, I think a 40-day fast is a great way to go. And the different kinds of fasts that you can do, whether it's fasting from an element of technology, fasting from an element of food, fasting from an element of your Wii or your PlayStation, fasting from, you know, an element of drinking or smoking, and giving yourself 40 days, there's, you know, significant scriptural backing and reference to the power of fasting in our lives. And this morning, I want to throw that out there too, that if you decide to take this challenge on and you start tomorrow, the 21-day fast will finish on May the 24th and the 40-day fast will finish on June 13th. And on both those days, we want to celebrate with you and congratulate with you. And we look forward to hearing your feedback and your reports of the breakthrough that you've had in this area of challenge in your life. That I know that if you commit to not just fasting, but praying and being hungry and being eager to get closer to Jesus and saying, God, I need your help in this area, asking God for his wisdom and for this fruit of the Spirit to be developed and become more evident in your life. I know that if you do this seriously and with a heart that's hungry after God, after 40 days, you will see breakthrough in your life. I'm that confident. Fasting is something I believe that is not an optional extra for Christians. It is something that we should be determined to have part of our walk with God. And as a leader, I take this seriously and it's not about whatever, but it's just like, it's something that I try to do one day a week. I try to fast one day a week because I'm serious about humbling myself before God. Remember we said in pride, a way in which we can humble ourselves is to fast. And I'm committed to your growth and your spiritual development and seeing this church grow. And I know that part of that is going to come about when I humble myself before God and I fast that one day a week. But I just want to encourage you this morning. Why don't you take up the challenge? in this area of challenge in your life to either 21 or 40 days. And you can read there in that verse out of Matthew just some insights into what our fasting should look like. And I know that it says in that verse that we should not tell everybody, but can I encourage you that within your life group that you share it with one person, even your life group leader, so that there's an element of accountability in your fasting process over the next 21 or 40 days. And it's not so you're boasting about it, it's just so there's a level of accountability. You've got a leader that is praying for you and supporting you through your journey. You don't have to disclose all the details of what it is unless you want to, but just sharing with your life group leader, hey, I'm taking on the 21-day fast, I'm taking on the 40-day fast, and they will commit themselves to praying for you during that process. Does that sound good? Okay, two of us, great. Pumped about fasting, excellent. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord God, we just thank you that, Lord God, you have allowed us to have such a wonderful salvation, a wonderful relationship with you when we accept you as Lord of our life. That, Lord God, when we acknowledge that and confess that, yes, we have done things that have offended you and that aren't pleasing to you, when we confess that, and Lord God, when we repent from that, when we want to turn away from that, and when we want to walk in your direction for life, Lord God, we get to experience such a wonderful life. Not always easy, but Lord God, we know it's the best possible life that anyone could live. And this morning in this area, this whole area of gluttony, Father, I just pray, Lord God, even for my own areas of struggle with this, Father God, that you would help each one of us in this room to more and more see the fruit of self-control developed in our lives. That, Lord God, all these wonderful fruits out of Galatians 5:22 would become more and more evident. But especially we've been focusing on this one of self-control. And I pray that the areas that have been underlined, the enough zones that have been written down, those that are courageous enough to take up a 21-day or a 40-day fast, Lord God, just hold on to you throughout that time. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will see results, that we will see breakthrough in people's lives in that time. And right now, Father, by faith, I want to thank you for the breakthrough that is coming for individuals in this room that may have struggled in a particular area for a lengthened period of time. But Lord God, when we commit it to you in this way, Lord God, we're believing for breakthrough, and I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you enjoyed the message. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue our series on the seven deadly sins.